Well, who's had a great day today?
Yeah!
You guys had a talent show, you did a bunch of fun activities, you guys have done... By the way, I think Emerald has one of the nicest shirts I've seen today. What do you think, Robin? Nice shirt. Rob and I were just admiring your shirt. Oh, it's the same shirt. What do you know? It must have been twin lunch day today. Who had fun with their twin at lunch today?
Mine was a pillow.
Negative lunch.
Negative lunch.
Negative twins.
Well, this morning, we talked about the reality of how messed up our world is and how big God's love is for us as an individual and for this world, and how much He desires the world to come to know Him. And I left you guys with a question. Do you remember the question? Thomas, do you kind of remember it?
I think it was a question of what would the world be like if
there was no sin. Close.
Wait.
Oh. Oh, I asked that question too, but that wasn't the last question. Okay, last chance.
If there was no temptation. No,
I asked that question. Okay, so this is where I left you guys with. Okay? If you guys know about Jesus' love, and if you experienced it, and the world doesn't know about God's love, if you don't go and tell them, who is going to? Who will? If you don't tell this world about God's love, who will? Did you guys have time to think about that today? Maybe it was a little bit busy playing and having fun. Let's take like 10 seconds just to think about that. If you don't go and tell the world about God's love, who will? Just think about that. Okay, who knows the story of Jonah? Okay, so Jonah was a prophet in Israel, and the word of the Lord came to Jonah, and God told Jonah to do what? Any memory? Anybody remember?
Go to Nineveh.
Go to Nineveh and do what?
Tell them about God.
Go to Nineveh and tell them about God. Tell them to like stop doing what they're doing. Okay? All right. Then what happened? What did Jonah do? Did he go to Nineveh? Right there.
No, he tried taking a ship to Tarsus.
Tried taking a ship to Tarshish. Did it go well for him?
No.
Okay. What happened on that ship? Does anybody know? Somebody knew. Right there. There was a big storm, yeah?
Yeah, and Noah...
Jonah?
Jonah, he felt guilty because he knew that God was punishing him. So he told the men aboard the ship to turn over.
Yeah, so things weren't going well, and the men on the ship's like, hey, pray to your God that, you know, maybe we can get saved. And then Jonah kind of tells them about what's going on, and they're like, what? You did what? You're running away from who? Like, this bad news. And Jonah says, throw me over and it'll calm down. But they didn't at first. They tried to row to safety. And they couldn't get where they were going. And so finally, after exhausting every other option, they tossed Jonah overboard. And the sea became calm. What happened next? This is where the story gets a little bit, like, if that's not crazy enough, this is where the story gets really crazy. What happens? Somebody knew. Way in the back. Jacob. Doesn't get eaten, he gets swallowed. If he was getting eaten, then he would have, like, gone on one end and then out the other end of the fish. But that isn't what happened. He didn't get eaten. He got swallowed by a big fish. Okay? A big fish. And inside that fish, he was there for how many days? Anybody know?
3 days
and three nights. Good guess, though. It's close. And he begins to pray. And he begins to pray, and then he ends his prayer with this. When my life was ebbing away, I remembered you, Lord, and my prayers rose to you, to your holy temple. Those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. But I, with a song of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will make good. Salvation comes from the Lord. And the Lord commanded the fish, and it vomited, Jonah, onto dry land. Must have been a big fish to vomit a full-grown man onto dry land. Because it's like, could you imagine, like, fish is in water. It's not like the fish is, like, getting onto dry land just to go vomit. Like, that's got to be, like, projectile vomit onto dry land. Like, that's gross. Okay. Anyways. Jonah's on dry land. And he's figuring it out. He knows what he needs to do. So the word of the Lord came to Jonah a second time. And do you think it was a different word of the Lord, a different thing, that command that God gave Jonah? No, same thing. It says, go to the great city of Nineveh and proclaim to it the message I give you. This time, Jonah obeyed the word of the Lord and went to Nineveh. Now, Nineveh was a very important city. A visit required 3 days. On the first day, Jonah started into the city. He proclaimed, 40 more days and Nineveh will be overturned. The Ninevites believed God. They declared a fast. That means no eating at all. They declared a fast. And all of them, from the greatest to the least, put on sackcloth. Some clothing that is, like, not very nice. It's really kind of just plain. And it shows, at that time, it shows how sorry or how upset somebody might be. And so often you wore sackcloth if you were mourning or grieving the death of a loved one. But in this case, they put on sackcloth because they were so upset that they had done wrong in the eyes of God. So, good news, right? Well, when the news reached the king of Nineveh, he rose from his throne, took off his royal robes, covered himself with sackcloth, and sat down in the dust. Then he issued a proclamation in Nineveh. By the decree of the king and his nobles, that's how it was started, and it said this, do not let any man or beast, herd or flock, taste anything. Do not let them eat or drink. But let man and beast be covered with sackcloth. Let everyone call urgently on God. Let them give up their evil ways and their violence. Who knows? God may yet relent and with compassion turn from his fierce anger so that we will not perish. When God saw that they did what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he had compassion and did not bring upon them the destruction he had threatened. Now you got to know a little bit about Nineveh. It says here in the Bible that Nineveh was an important city, and it took at least 3 days. But it wasn't just any old city. It was the city of the mortal enemies of Israel. Jonah's country. That was Jonah was an Israelite. And what the Ninevites and their country were doing to the Israelites was horrendous. They were taking all of their food, and they were forcing Israelites to go into slavery. And the violence and the torture and the things that were happening that the Ninevites and their countrymen were doing to Israel was horrendous. It was awful. And so Jonah has this reaction. And it's a very interesting reaction. So he hears about God's compassion. And it says this, "But Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry." What? What do you think, girls, what do you think Jonah wanted for Nineveh? Any ideas? No. You answered a few times. What do you think he wanted? Jonah didn't want that. Okay, listen. Okay? And you'll hear. Jonah, an Israelite, was the mortal enemy of the Ninevites. And very likely, Jonah had family that was hurt or killed by some of these people. Jonah wanted them out of the equation, gone. He wanted God to like come down and take them out. Isn't that crazy? So when God had compassion on the Ninevites, Jonah was greatly displeased and became angry. He prayed to the Lord, "O Lord, is this not what I said when I was still at home? That is why I was so quick to flee to Tarshish. I knew that you were a gracious and compassionate God, slow to anger and abounding in love, a God who relents from sending calamity. Now, O Lord, take away my life." What? Take away my life? He just said that. "Lord, take away my life, for it is better for me to die than to live." But the Lord replied, "Have you any right to be angry?" Jonah went out and sat down at a place east of the city, east of Nineveh, that is. And there he made himself a shelter, sat in its shade, and waited to see what would happen to the city. Then the Lord God provided a vine and made it grow up over Jonah to give shade for his head, to ease his discomfort. And Jonah was very happy about the vine. But at dawn the next day, God provided a worm which chewed the vine so that it withered. When the sun rose, God provided a scorching east wind, and the sun blazed on Jonah's head so that he grew faint. He wanted to die and said, "It would be better for me to die than to live." Jonah was overlooking the city of Nineveh. And even though he had told them, "God's destruction's coming on you," and the Ninevites had repented, Jonah was still looking over the city and thinking, maybe they're going to go back to their old ways. Maybe they're going to go back to their old ways, and God will, after all, bring down his justice and take that city out. That's what Jonah's kind of thinking and hoping for, I think. But God said, "Do you have a right to be angry about the vine that grew up and the vine that withered?" "I do," Jonah said. "I am angry enough to die." But the Lord said, "You have been concerned about this vine, though you did not tend it or make it grow. It sprang up overnight and died overnight. But Nineveh has more than 120,000 people who cannot tell good from evil, their right hand from their left, and many cattle as well. Should I not be concerned about that great city? God was saying to Jonah, you are more concerned about this vine that you did nothing about than the city of Nineveh. As much as this story is about God's grace, this story is about Jonah and God putting Jonah in his place. There are times when we get more preoccupied about things of this world, things that we like to do, things that we don't want happening, than about what God wants for this world. Let me give you an example. You're walking down the hallway in your school, and a friend comes up to you, actually several friends come up to you, and they're starting to talk about God stuff. And they are asking things like about heaven, and they're talking about that, and they're kind of wondering about this. And you have an answer. You're like, I know about this. I heard it at church, or I heard it at camp, or I heard it from wherever. But there might be something inside you that holds you back that says, but if I say something about this, maybe I'm not going to fit in. Maybe they'll look at me differently. Maybe at times we're more concerned about fitting in than about telling people about God's love. Here's another example for you. Have you ever been really hurt by somebody? I mean, really hurt? And you're angry, frustrated? Have you ever found it hard to wish good for them? To wish God's very best for them? Jonah had a hard time wishing God's best for some people. Whether it be somebody who's hurt us when we're really young, or when we are older. So here's my challenge. I was going to tell you that this is going to get hard tonight. I warned you this morning that this is going to get hard. Okay? And it is hard. Okay? So here it is. You ready for this? If God's love is infinite and so incredibly deep and amazing, what's holding you back from telling the world about it? What's holding you back from telling your friends, your family, about God's love? Think about it. What's holding you back? Jesus, we love you. And I don't think, Lord, we know the depth of your love yet. because it just keeps seeming to get bigger and bigger as the more I discover. God, whatever is in our way, whatever we're putting ahead of you, whatever is more important than telling the world about your love for them, God, will you help us to lay that down, to put that aside, and make you the most important thing, to make sharing your love with this world the most important thing. Help us to set aside our hurts and our pain. Help us to set aside our insecurities, our ambitions, and help us to share our love, your love, that you've given us with the world. In your name I pray. Amen. So you guys are going to go back to cabin time and have some snack. You can just sit down for a second, and I'll explain a couple of things. I want you to talk to your cabin leaders about two things. The first thing is, maybe it's time for us to like share what can creep in and become more important than sharing God's love with this world. Okay? So talk a little bit about that. You can ask your cabin leader that question, and your cabin leader will ask you that question. And that's going to be a hard question, a little bit scary, okay? So you ask your cabin leader in your cabins that question, just a second. And the other question is, who are the people that come to mind that you need to share God's love with? Okay? Who are the people that you need to share God's love with? Okay?